Hello and welcome to the Aspiring Mormon Woman podcast. My name is Drew Duncan. I'm your host of sorts. Today we're going to be talking to two recently returned sister missionaries about their experiences both in the field and coming home. We hope you enjoy it. Let's go to that conversation now.
Hello. We're here with Kate Clayson and Annie Williams. Here they are. How about Annie? Why don't you tell us about yourself and about your mission very briefly?
Very briefly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my name's Annie Williams. I grew up in Mapleton, Utah, and I was called to the Washington, D.C. South Mission, Spanish speaking, and I left in June 2012. I just got back about 4 months ago.
Okay. Kate, what about you?
Also, I'm Kate Clayson. And I also grew up in Mapleton, Utah. I was called to the Hawaii Honolulu Mission, and I also left June 2012, and then I returned in January of this year.
Okay. So how did you think you had to prepare before you went? So what did you do? What did you think was you had to do?
Well, I went to a lot of mission prep classes I took at Mid Institute. Don't tell anybody, but they didn't really help me prepare. Nobody told me that missions were hard. Or maybe they did, I just didn't hear it.
Just didn't believe it.
Yeah, so I just thought that everyone kind of went out there and it was just a big spiritual party because that's what people told me. But I think preparing, looking back, preparing now, I think just maybe realizing that missions are hard, which I didn't prepare for.
It's not fun and games.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be EFY, but I didn't understand you don't take breaks.
Mm. It's more than a full-time job.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a full-time life.
It's a lifetime. The only time you get off is when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And not even then.
No.
And then you have nightmares.
It's pretty soon it's over. You're waking up and it's 6:30.
Okay, what about you?
For preparing for mission, I'd say, I wish I'd probably prepared better financially. That was okay. My parents were able to help me, but I always looked up to people that were, that paid for their mission themselves mm-hmm. when I was there. As far as, spiritually, probably a year before my mission, I, took a really serious study of the Book of Mormon and, vowed that I would read it every single day for a half an hour at least, and that was the biggest help. I'll still always say that I also took mission prep classes. The one I took at BYU Idaho was really great. It was a religion teacher that I had already loved, and so I knew he was a great teacher. As far as mission prep in church, it wasn't really, didn't help at all. But that was the biggest thing, and I kind of cleared the way. I finished my associates before I left, so I went out of my way to do that because I wasn't about to finish it really soon, but I did, and then, so that was a good thing for me, and, yeah.
What about education? How did you feel as far as school before? Did you feel like a mission would interfere, or did you feel like a mission would complement it, or did you feel nervous about taking such a big break off school? How did you feel?
Well, I also finished my associates before I went, so it was just kind of a good breaking point.
Right.
But I didn't really take school that serious before my mission. I didn't really study. I wasn't, I didn't really study in high school, didn't really study in college. But now, where I took a year and a half and I studied for 4 hours every single day, and I understand a little bit more of,
the value.
How to study.
Yeah.
I'll definitely take my schooling more seriously now, and I think it will, help me that study practice.
Yeah, I felt the same way about, it being a good breaking time. I was able to kind of get everything out of my generals out of the way, and then
Do this.
Right. Just, devote all my, and not worry about, forgetting a bunch of stuff,
right.
I guess. Like, in some ways, I'm returning to school in a couple weeks, and I'm a little bit nervous that, because I'm out of the swing of that, but, like Annie said, there's a lot of skills that I did learn on my mission that I'll be able to apply to that. So I really was never nervous that, it was a bad choice, I guess.
Yeah, so we talked about how missions, some of the things on the mission were kind of unexpected, mm-hmm. not what you thought it was going to be. How do you think, and we said that, Annie said that the mission helped you become a better student, probably. How else do you think being a missionary helped you in non-missionary things?
I'd say dealing with people. You learn a lot about yourself and how you react in situations. You learn a lot about how to deal with companions because you're with them so much. And then how, you know, people kind of react in different situations, because I've never had, you know, the missionary-investigator relationship with people. So I think just learning about people in general.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, time management, like, realizing how precious time is. And I can't say I've been perfect at it since I've been home, but definitely it's something where I know how to prioritize and also just... I think, because this is another thing, is, like, following the Spirit applies to a lot of non-missionary things, too. And a lot of non-gospel things. Like, just being able to be at the right place at the right time. It doesn't have to be for something spiritual, but it could be, like, to get the right job or right. to, you know, be friends with the right person, so.
Yeah. Let's talk about the mission itself a little bit. You guys left a couple months before the age change, right, for the sisters? Because mm-hmm. you guys left in June, and that was in October, right? Right. Exactly. So a couple months before. So you guys were both 21 when you mm-hmm. left, which was the old age. And so then, but pretty soon after, all these younger girls came out.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? Was that a challenge? Was it a good thing? Was it both?
I think there was a lot of excitement about it, but there's both good and bad sides, and I could see that. So when I first heard the announcement, I was, like, exciting, because it's like, okay, missionary work is moving forward, but I also knew that there would be a lot of girls that just felt like, well, I'm 19, and so
I'm gonna go.
I should just go.
Yeah.
And that there would be a lot of girls that, like probably Annie said, they wouldn't...
hadn't thought about it as much.
They hadn't thought about it, and they didn't know that missions were hard.
Right.
And they would just come out and then be like, wait, this is not the vacation I thought it was gonna be. Yeah. Or the adventure
not
I thought it was gonna
spiritual,
be.
Spiritual, you know...
Yeah.
Spiritual vacation.
Exactly. And so, and that's what happened. We had sisters come out. The 19-year-old sisters started getting into the mission about February of the following year. My first, I guess, encounter with one of the younger sisters, I trained her, and she came into the mission in March, and she just wasn't, like, she wasn't prepared spiritually or mentally at all, and right. she ended up going home.
Yeah.
And it was really sad, and it was just kind of, like, I guess that was just kind of a natural consequence of that, all that happening.
Right.
But,
was that a thing that happened, not often, but did you see it happen, some like, girls who weren't quite ready go home because they didn't prepare?
Yes.
The numbers definitely went up on yeah. sisters that needed to go home.
That's interesting.
But as far as the maturity level, I think it just depends on the person, because, mm-hmm. I mean, it happened to be that my two hardest companions were both 19, but also I had friends in the mission that were 19 that were my favorite sisters, you know, to go on exchanges with and work with, because they were so amazing and so prepared.
Right.
So
it just depends on the person.
I think it does depend on the person, and I think it's gonna do wonders for the generation of how many RMs that we're going to have, because
right.
I feel like so many, we're going to be so much more prepared for life and for the challenges that we have to face in life because of our missions.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I wanted to say about that was that I kept thinking, like, for years, I was like, they're going to change the age to 19, you know, and I wanted that because
right.
I was preparing and I wanted to go when everyone else was going or when all my guy friends were going. And when I thought about it, I was like, well, what if this had happened, you know, when I was 19, I definitely would have gone, but I wouldn't have been as prepared.
Right.
But now, I mean, girls know that 19 is the age, so they'll have
so they
those,
have time.
They have those years to
right.
kind of prepare. But I'm really grateful for the time that I had to be at college.
Yeah.
Because I learned so much during
yeah,
that time.
I think it's probably, because people are, people often talk about how, because the boys can go when they're 18 now, mm-hmm. so a lot of them go straight out of high school, and mm-hmm. they never had a chance to move away from home, so they're really yeah. just like,
hard,
not really prepared for anything. Mm-hmm. I think that would be hard. What about the boys? Is there a noticeable maturity difference between the boys and the girls on the mission? Or does it depend on the person,
too? I think it depends on the situation, because mm-hmm. as far as, like, your sense of humor goes, I feel like my sense of humor digressed down to, like, the age of a 19-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I mean, there were definitely a lot of elders that were very mature for their age, but then, you know, there were always some that were very immature.
They mm-hmm. just depend.
And the difference between 18 and 19 isn't that huge.
Right. It would probably, like, the difference between 19 and 21...
Is bigger. Yeah.
But that's maybe not as big of a factor anymore, now that they're really close.
Yeah, now that they're kind of all... Like, at this point, it's been over a year.
Yeah.
And everything's kind of leveled out to...
Now they're just all falling in love.
Yeah, that's another problem.
Yes, I hear rumors from a mission that P-days are changed, sisters and elders...
Can't do it together.
They can't have P-days together. They can't sit next to each other in meetings.
That's the same with our mission,
I wonder too. If they... Well, I'm sure they thought about it before that, but I wonder if they realized that it was going to be a problem.
Yeah. Walk your hearts, missionaries.
I'm sure
they've been telling us that for years.
Don't.
But before that, it was like, we're 2 years older than these
why
guys,
would I want to hang out with this 19-year-old?
You know, it happens. Yeah. Still happens.
It does. Yeah, I guess. But probably not as much as two 19-year-olds.
Right.
Right.
Together. Right. Yeah, that was kind of a problem I saw as I was leaving, but I was just like, whatever. See you guys.
I love you.
Yeah. We talked about missions being hard. In what ways was your mission hard that you didn't expect?
Filling your time. Because, I mean, missions weren't necessarily stressful when you had a full schedule, when you had
things,
appointments
places to be.
And service mm-hmm. and yeah. things to do. It's when you wake up. Well, I guess when you plan the night before and you have absolutely nothing to do the next day.
Yeah.
That's the most stressful time because yeah. you know that your time is precious as a missionary, and so you're trying to do the most effective thing. But sometimes the most effective thing is just knocking doors mm-hmm. when it feels unproductive.
Right.
I think probably the hardest thing about the mission that I wasn't really expecting was just the mental stress, like how hard it was mentally. Like, I could wake up every day, you know, and do it and teach lessons and things, but like keeping tabs on every person in like this huge geographic area, yeah. you know, that you've ever talked to, and also trying to get along with a companion that is completely opposite of you besides
right.
anatomically,
and right.
and just there's like so many mental pressures that I felt at the like during this first 6 months of my mission.
Yeah.
That were just, like, so demanding, like, all these new rules that I never, you know, that never mattered before,
mm-hmm.
and all these things, and then I have such a huge responsibility, but then, on the flip side of that, as the mission went on, those things got way easier, and I didn't feel the mental pressure, you know, past probably 6 months, I was kind of, like, catching up with everything, and I felt mm-hmm. like I could handle it,
yeah.
and that's just the Lord. Being able to strengthen you.
How about when you came home? Was it a difficult adjustment, or was it not as difficult as you were expecting it to be?
It's definitely different than I expected. I was really ready to go home. I was really tired, like, the last 3 months of my mission.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The new sisters would come in and just say, oh, you look so tired. Like, I know I'm tired. And it's because when you were making out with your prom date, deciding if you were going to go on a mission, I was out here waking up at 6:30. So, I mean, you're definitely...
That's so true.
Physically and mentally ready to go home and, you know, just socially tired. But then when you get home, you just go to the extreme of having nothing to
right.
do.
Right.
It's awful.
And... you can do whatever you want as
right.
soon as you get home, so it's just a little bit of a shock, so... Yeah.
Did you feel, like, a little bit just adrift? A little bit, what do I do now?
Yeah,
what do I do with my life?
Like I didn't have purpose. I didn't know what to do with my time. It was just definitely a shock. I didn't know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Because on your mission, your goal with talking to anyone is eventually turned into... a conversation about the gospel.
Something yeah. gospel-related.
But when you go to a social setting now, you're
no
like...
No one wants that.
You're like, what? What am I supposed to talk to this person about?
Yeah.
Where's this conversation going? but it's getting better.
It's kind of like you rearrange your life to center around this one thing, and so it's like you change your personality to be this gospel sharing machine, and then you come back and it's not what you're supposed to really do anymore.
And it's like, and when you're out there, you're like, when I go home, I'm going to be the best member. I'm going to go with the missionaries all the time. Not because I'm desperate to be with them, but mostly just because I feel like I wish members would have done that with me and things like that. And then you get home and you realize, like, first of all, I, like, my drive is different, I guess. Like, I still, like Annie said, I still kind of feel like bringing up the gospel in every conversation because that's all I know how to do.
Right.
But once you get past that, it's like, well, I do have all these other responsibilities. Like, maybe I don't need to spend my whole time, my whole life doing
this. You have your life to start now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, now I can finally empathize with all the members I was so frustrated with that they had other things to do instead of proselyte with me. But coming home was way easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
In a few ways, just that... And I think this is just my circumstance that I happen to have, like, a bunch of friends here and Annie here, but I kind of, I fully expected to be, like, depressed. And so that's why I think, like, it didn't work out that way because I was just, like, trying to find anything to, like, keep me on. But I mean, yeah, probably after, after about 3 weeks of, like, just being with other people, like, constantly, then it finally was like, okay, wait, now I don't know what to do. It wasn't exciting that I was home anymore, and that was kind of a hard thing, too. But.
And then, so you're starting school next month, right?
Yeah.
So you had, like, a couple of months to just kind of not really do much. I mean, you got a job.
Yeah.
You got a job, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting school in the fall, right?
Right.
So you, yeah, that'd just be a lot of time.
Yep. It was...
To just let it sink in.
I was just like... dying to have a job.
Yeah.
And now I have, like, three jobs.
Right.
And I'm just, like, working myself to death, and it feels fine. Because that's what I'm used to.
Right.
But before that, it was, like, I would sleep in every day, because what else do I do?
Yeah.
And I could, and no one else wants to hang out until, like, four. And then, and I feel pretty useless. But now, I don't know, like, I'm excited to start school. I've been excited to start school since I got home because of that reason.
It's
because
nice.
I knew it would keep me really busy.
Structure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the mission, let's talk about, what is it called? The zone...
Sister training
leaders. The sister training leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So, what, tell us about that. What is that?
The sister training leaders is the new leadership for the sisters. Prior to that, there was an unofficial title of coordinating sister, which was just, they usually just had one in the mission and they would deal with the drama and the problems. And then in June... of 2013, they made it an official title, and they were more like zone leaders. They there was a sister training leader assigned to cover a zone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and it's the same. I think every mission kind of took it on themselves differently, from what I've heard. And because since I got on my mission, we always had a sister trainer, and they would cover, like, one or two zones, because there wasn't that many proselyting sisters, so you'd always have to cover several zones. But... yeah, we would go to the missionary leadership conferences when we were sister trainer, and you go on exchanges with other sisters. I heard of one mission, I think it was Peru, where there was, like, a sister who was, like, a traveling assistant.
Oh, my
Go to, like, who would just travel around and go on exchanges with other sisters. And
I
that's,
want that.
That would be kind
of
cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah,
I've heard of traveling APs.
Yeah, we had traveling APs because we were on all different islands, so the APs would go to the different islands and... hang out with the zone leaders, I guess, so.
So did you, so the sister training leader is kind of an, I mean, it was sort of there before, but the official position was introduced while you were out there.
Yeah, like about a year after we got out.
Yeah. So did you see any changes? Did you see it affect people in any noticeable way?
I think that it was still a little bit rocky as far as, you know, handing over responsibilities and titles to this new, you know, position, so... It kind of felt like a waste in the first couple months, you know, just because people were still adjusting to it. But I feel like as time went on, it definitely helped more with, you know, the increase of sisters and just things they couldn't talk to their male zone leaders about.
Right. I could see that.
That's why I think it was necessary, but at the same time, like you said, it's like we didn't have, like, we weren't really stewards over the whole zone, but more just, like, take care of the sisters and make sure that they're okay, and that was needed, so.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Did either of you end up being a sister training leader?
Yeah.
Did you both?
Both of us.
How was it? Was it not much different from being a...
No, it was fun. I don't know, it was good, like, it was really good to be able to go on exchanges with sisters in other zones and be able to contact them, because there was lots of times when I was, me and my companion were the only sisters in the zone, and so being able to have that freedom to, like, call into the other zone and just see how they're doing and, you know, see if they need me for anything, it was good, and I felt more connected with the zone leaders to be able to, like, we were counseling together on, like, how we
could... So did you feel, like, more included in how things were being run, how things were...
Yeah, I'd say I did.
Mm-hmm. One problem that I saw a lot with the coordinating sisters, sister training leaders, was that, you know, they would call and almost encouraged the drama and the problems because, you know, there's a shoulder to cry on, you're going to take it and you're going to cry.
Right.
But before, if no one really gave you that option to
just kind of cry,
you just went to work and you figured it out.
Right.
So, true. I think there's a fine line of not babying the sisters and being supportive. Being supportive without, you know, giving them room or, you know...
An opportunity
to complain
or
create unnecessary drama.
I think I just used it to make more friends.
Kate was like, hey!
I'm just like, yes, more friends!
I'm here on exchanges!
Sisters.
Yeah.
Well, any thoughts you've had that you haven't said, or any closing thoughts for your talks?
I would just say to anyone who's going on a mission, like, to really soak it up, because I think the thing that I miss most about the mission is, like, having superpowers. Like, I had superpowers. I didn't need that much sleep. I could go all day. I could talk to everyone. And I could follow the spirit all the time. And I don't have those superpowers anymore.
Right.
And, like, even talking to, like, my converts, it's not the same. Because I don't have the authority of, like...
Right, you're not in that position.
I'm not their missionary anymore. Even though I want to counsel them. And, like, I can, like, a friend. But it's just different. And there are a lot of things that I miss about it. But I'm also, like, I'm happy to be where I am. I'm not, like, I wish I was still there.
Yeah, it has to end sometime.
It has to end, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I also have some other parting words.
Okay.
For the sisters. Because, you know what? Some of them don't have to go on missions. So, you know, pray about it.
Don't feel like you have to go.
Don't feel like you have to, because you might be more valuable at home.
Yep.
Because member missionaries, without member missionaries, the missionary work doesn't work.
Yeah, we can't do it.
Mm-hmm. If if you are going to college and you are sharing the gospel with your friends, that...
It might be just as good.
That's probably better.
More effective than missionary
work. Because they'll trust you more than they trust two random people in school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, missionary... Like, sister missionaries are a powerful thing. Like, I really believe that they always improve the obedience within the zone and the... I mean, depending on the sister, but 9 times out of 10.
Right.
You know, they lift the standard and also lift the standard of missionary work, because every ward that I was in always gushed about, like...
The sisters.
The sisters. Yeah. And when I left my mission, they whitewashed my area and put elders in, and the ward was not happy. They were pretty upset about it, and that's just because the sisters... I mean, we have something to offer. The elders have a lot to offer, and they're there for a reason, and they need to, you know, go and do their priesthood duty. But the sisters can approach things in a different way that a lot of people really appreciate and need. Mm-hmm. They need sister missionaries. And
some people probably respond better.
Exactly.
For sure. Sisters. Yeah. It's way easier for us.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that I taught where I was like, I know that if the elders contacted these same people, they wouldn't have listened. Yeah. And not, like, because of me specifically, but because I'm a sister you know what I mean? Just, like, and so there's a lot of value that we can have at home, like, at school, like she said, or on the mission field. But I love my mission. And those are my words.
Yeah. Great words. Well, thank you, Kate and Annie. And that'll be the end.
Aloha.
Yeah.
Adios.
Adios.
Vaya con Dios. All right, guys, let's make some Indian food if you need it.
Okay. Well, we'll watch you make it.